Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Aaron Weist. I hope I said that right. Who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow so I won't cry.
Hey, Scoob, put down the pizza because it's time for That Story Show.
Okay, Raggy.
Hey, this is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, everybody, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories to the spotlight. It's episode 395, brought to you the week of November 18th, 2021. And I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. My good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and we're halfway there. Because I'm living on a prayer.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah. Take my hand, and it will make it, I swear.
Whoa, living on a prayer. Man. One of the more interesting voices in rock and roll.
You know, that's true.
Right up there we're talking about Axl Rose, but who was the lead singer of AC/DC? Ace Ventura. Really? That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah. He was interesting too. Angus. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Metal, in the chat room.
I thought that was a guitar player. Angus Young.
But the lead singer of AC/DC.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Another interesting voice in rock and roll. So that was my only point. That was my only point. So
it was a good point. And it's a nice segue into the show.
Yeah.
Interesting voices.
Well, welcome back, John.
Thank you.
And well, welcome to all of you. I apologize. We were gone for 2 weeks. Week one was a vacation. A scheduled time off, and then last week was just due to energy levels and stuff. I mean, you guys know I struggle with depression and anxiety, and we had a funeral that week, and it just I wasn't feeling funny. You know, it's hard to go from a funeral to funny. So I know some people put the fun in funeral, F-U-N, ha 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 ha, but sometimes they're not funny. So anyway, we do have an opening story because we start every show with a story. I almost said something inappropriate.
What's that mean?
I don't know. It's the start and I don't know what else I was trying to mix with it. So my mom is a pre-K 12th grade music teacher. She works.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. She, well,
pre-K through 12th grade.
Yeah. Pre-K through 12th grade music teacher. She does it all.
Wow.
So she works at a private school. So that explains it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They stretch those teachers thin, don't they?
That's right.
You're doing everything and you're the librarian. So enjoy that. And the vice principal. So they've actually been in session this school year. So she was in the second grade classroom doing her normal lesson, and she had just given the kids an activity to complete. This is second grade. As she's walking around the classroom, one of the boys suddenly stands up, starts bouncing up and down and jiggling his legs like some sort of, you know, leprechaun on caffeine or something. He suddenly exclaims, "I have to poop." And he runs out of the room, leaving behind a tiny turd.
Oh, no.
A little whopper ball.
No, gross.
Somehow this child bouncing so vigorously had loosened the tiny bit of dew that he had let escape out of his boxers and his pants. I doubled over laughing when my mom told me and my dad about this story, and I knew I just had to share it with you two. Thanks for reading. Hope,
yeah.
Trekler. Hope, I don't usually like poop stories, but this one I like.
He left a little gift in that class, yeah, didn't he?
Just had to take a tissue and clean it up. I like to imagine the teacher, you know how some teachers, especially with elementary schools, there are different jobs that each student gets, like line leader,
right, door holder,
screen changer, you know, you get to hold
water fountain monitor,
maybe little Timmy, his job was poop picker upper for that week,
the poop scooper,
and usually it's a good job because nobody poops, but that week was not a good week to be the poop scooper. So
he was both excited and sad because he had something to do and he had something to do.
Yeah, he had some do to do. So anyway, I want to just admit something right now. I was sleepy today. And so when my son and I went for drinks, as we often do at the local Quick Trip, in a bit of a flurry, I guess a purchase that was made in a hurry. I picked up a 5-hour energy drink right there beside the lady that was checking us out.
An impulse buy.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm an hour in to my 5 hours, so I'm a little excited.
It's gonna be a long night, right?
It's like I want to keep saying the same words over and 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 over again. So. I have to watch myself. Okay, so let's do the weekly rewind. All right, so I mentioned that we had a funeral and that I had a weekly update from that funeral, and how inappropriate does that sound? But so before the funeral, the people involved in kind of putting the funeral together all went out to eat together. And we ended up at Mod Pizza.
Mod Pizza. Yeah. Sounds like a fancy, cool, hipster place.
Oh, it is. It is nice. It's like the Subway, except a nice. Subway's kind of gone downhill, so I don't like calling it that. But it's like the Subway of pizza. You go through and there is a pizza artist and you choose the thickness of your crust, the size of your crust, do you want garlic rubbed into it? Do you want what kind of sauce, what kind of cheeses? And they have all these different kinds of cheeses and meats and vegetables and all this kind of stuff. And then they put it in an oven, a brick oven, and they cook it for you. And then they holler when it's ready. And
wow, that's cool.
It is very cool. And it's very good. So if you have a Mod Pizza in your area, definitely go check it out. But anyway, we had ordered and we were sitting there with our drinks and I was talking and I just happened to be sitting across the table from the lady whose son we buried or were in the process of burying. And her name is Tiff. And Tiff is one of my dear friends and we have similar struggles and stuff like that. And we talk a lot about it and we get along very well. And, her son was very close to me and I to him and all this kind of stuff. And so it was natural that we would sit across the table from each other. But what was not natural is the moment that I took a sip of my soda and it wasn't my soda, wasn't my flavor of soda. And in horror, I felt the texture of lipstick on the straw.
Oh no.
And I realized that I had grabbed Tiffany's drink and I had taken a deep drink of it. And I looked around really quickly and pushed it back over to her and no one saw it. Tiffany didn't see it. No one that she was talking to saw it. And my kids, most importantly, didn't see it.
Oh, there you go.
And I got away with it and I didn't say a word. I just quickly grabbed my drink and took a drink of my drink because that just cancels out, you know, all the cross contamination.
And you didn't have any lipstick residue left on your lips from
I'm sure I did it on a microscopic level. But I don't know what color I was wearing and I don't know what color looks good on me. But
well, I mean, does that mean that you practically kissed her?
Ah! Kind of. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, man. I've always thought about that. Like if you drink after somebody, your lips have touched the same cup that they have. So it's almost like you kissed them. That makes me cry a little bit.
It does, because because in my family, we are still the kind of family that we can drink after each other, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if your family's that way. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but...
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know.
That just means you're family, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Well, she doesn't know that she kissed you.
Shut up! You're making it weird! Weirder!
I'm sorry. I meant to say, you didn't tell her that you drank her drink.
No, I didn't, and a proper gentleman would have. I would have been, Tiffany, before you take your next sip, I need to come forward about an issue, and that is that I... put my big old fat lips and my mouth on your straw there, and you should. I've made an error, but you don't necessarily need to make that error. But I didn't. I didn't do that.
No.
And I let her unknowingly cross contaminate. And so, Tiff, if you have COVID, it's from me.
You got antibodies, so yeah. It's a lessened version, right?
I hope so. I hope so. So anyway, the poor lady had already lost her son. She didn't need the added pressure of knowing that she had made out with one of her friends, one of her best friends. So
yeah. I'm sorry. Apparently the chat room wants me to shut up. So I'm sorry for whatever
they do
I said.
Because you keep talking about me kissing her. You made it so weird.
I do apologize for that. If you want to start the show over, we can do that.
No, it's fine. But I do want to do this as at the request of the chat room. What's happening? The madness of my weekly update. Okay.
There you go.
Now everything's cleared and clean.
Everything's good.
And our minds are refreshed and renewed, and we're ready for John's weekly update.
Oh, man. Well, let me just tell you, I got one for you. It's right here.
Okay, good. So, I was wondering if you were going to go get it and come back, you know.
Well, I
would wait.
Brief. Okay. Well, thank you. but I just had like one of those moments where I'm rethinking, like, should I actually say this or not?
Oh.
I don't know. So I'm going to be very...
I wish you had thought that about that when you started the whole making out with my friend thing. Wish you'd thought about that.
I'm sorry.
Usually I'm the one that's saying stuff like that, you know? What's going on? What's happening? Anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to continue with it because it's fresh on my
mind. I want to hear it now. The people are hungry for it.
Yes, here we go. The appetite is wet. So in my job as an IT professional, specifically within a school, you know, I have to monitor students' activity. And we are all the time, the middle school specifically keeps us on our toes because we use a filter that we manage, and we have to block websites and add websites and approve things and disapprove things.
Are they constantly trying to get around it? Is that the deal? Or
that is the deal.
Oh.
That is exactly the deal. And this software that we use, this tool that we use, is called GoGuardian. I'm sure that 100 million of our listeners that are in middle school are familiar with GoGuardian.
And hate it.
And they hate it. They all do because, you know, it wrecks their fun. We've got this perfectly good piece of technology, and they can't play their games or watch their videos or do the stuff that they want to do to, you know, annoy the teacher in the middle of class.
Mm.
So we are oftentimes asked, hey, will you check out this student's activity and see, you know, what they're doing and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So we found a few students who had apparently been just really abusing and probing the system and just trying to, you know, get away. So we have this great tool called the penalty box. And basically what it does is it blocks all of your internet activity except for the very, very few selected websites that they are allowed to use for their classwork.
That's cool.
And it's a great tool. It works really good. Well, we put some students in it this week and, you know, just kind of testing the waters there and trying to tweak the system and thought, well, this is a great opportunity. We're going to use this. And we made sure that the principal was aware about it and all that stuff. Well, because these students are used to having free reign of, you know, the internet, not free reign of the internet, because obviously we keep them safe and protected from stuff and whatnot, but, you know, a limited reign of the internet to go out and find time-wasting sites and stuff like that. They all of a sudden no longer had it.
Yeah.
And so they were like only able to get to their classwork, which is what their Chromebooks are intended for.
Right.
And the student got just so upset that they logged into their Google account and created a slideshow for us. And I will not reveal the gender of the student because I do not wish to incriminate myself or
get
fired. So this could be anybody. But the student said, and I don't think they listened to our show, but they wrote this very nice slideshow, and it said to us, "School, please stop stalking me. I know that you are blocking every website I find, and I can't watch my downloads. Please stop." And then they go on to give us a list of different websites that, here's the websites you blocked that I found.
Oh, they're on to you.
Like a list of them. Yeah. Oh, they're on to us.
Yeah.
And he's going on to try and justify it, saying, "I only use it at times when I'm allowed to use it. Ask my teachers." But we're like, we haven't led on to this student to know that, you know, we know
that you
wrote this to us.
This is not true. You have been abusing the system. Yeah. That's funny.
So
that is so great. See. They're using technology. This is what the future was made for.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I got it because these students are curious and they want to push the boundaries and they want to, you know, I'm all about exploration and creativity and trying to reach things, but you got to have limits and you got to know your limits and you got to understand that there's a boundary for a reason, and not for you to push to see how far you can get past it, but to know that that's where you stop. And they just like to test those boundaries a lot.
I'm reminded of Jurassic Park, where he says that the lead female, the alpha female of the raptors in the cage, had the others checking the fences systematically for weaknesses. They never checked the same electric fence part twice. They would check a different spot. And that's what kids do, is they systematically check the fence for weaknesses. And only after they've hit every single angle they can possibly hit and have been shocked at every possible angle will they then accept that the restrictions are real. And that's hilarious. Right. It also reminds me of when I worked at a place called what was it? MyLink. It was an internet service provider I used to design websites for. And they had this problem with people not paying their bills, and they would just shut off their internet. And I said, "Guys, why are you shutting off their internet? What you ought to do is just restrict their internet and restrict it to our website." And they're like,
"Oh, yeah."
And I said, "Then they'll call in and want tech support." And then we got an opportunity to turn into a salesman and, you know, get them to correct their information or whatever and what have you. And boy, they did that. And dude, we got calls, so many calls. And it was great. I got a raise.
Yeah.
Because
nice. I was going to say they should have given you a bonus because you like changed their paradigm.
Yeah, because instead ISP of service. Shutting them down and then just going to a different carrier, they would call in and say, "Hey, look, I, you know, have a problem. I can only get on this one website." And we're like, "It's because you didn't pay your bill."
Was that dial-up service that you were doing?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
56K, baby.
Dial-up. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You had them.
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was amazing. So anyway, I want to thank our patrons real quick. Because we have a contest right now. We're trying to get to 100 patrons. And if we can do it by the end of December, I've promised I would shave my head. And it's looking good for me right now. I just want to say that. We actually lost a couple of supporters.
Uh-oh.
we had 74. We currently have 72, only 28 to go by the end of December. So what I did is I added two new tiers to give you a chance. If you've ever said to yourself, I would support James and John, but it's just $5 a month is too much for me. So I went ahead and I added a $1 tier and a $3 tier.
Oh,
so,
man.
If you want to be a basement ghost man, you can be a $1 a month supporter. Now, it's $1 a month, folks. That's $12 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
$12 a year.
You know,
that's less than a cup of coffee on Friday.
I'm not even sure it really helps us after they take fees out from the thing. That's why I used to set the minimum at $5, but I'm like, I want to meet you halfway. If you're a person that has never supported us before, you can do $1 or $3 a month. All right. You know, that's a cup of coffee, a half a cup of coffee. It's not even a quarter cup of coffee. So a month.
It's less than a can of soda out of a machine.
And it gives you a shot at getting to 100 people. So, you know, anyway, give it a shot. I got a couple of announcements too that I'd like to make. One of them is I have a brand new YouTube channel and folks are finding it. Have you checked it out at all there, John?
I have. Oh, yeah. I watched you draw a pixel Smurf.
Yeah, I drew a Smurf.
From memory.
From memory. And then I've also played a video game. You can find it right now. The best way to get to it, I mean, you can always search YouTube for James Kennison, but I directly linked it through the website, nlcast.com/YouTube. If you type that in, it'll dump you directly to my brand new page, and you can start enjoying. If you like Let's Plays, I do a Let's Play. It's pretty funny, I got to say, because it's a scary game, kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's. Five Nights scary. At Freddy's,
yeah.
Yeah. Not horror scary, just stupid scary.
Jump scare scary.
Yeah, and I'm terribly wimpy. So go to nlcast.com/YouTube. And subscribe and comment, and you can choose what I draw next, because I'm going to do another drawing soon, and a drawing from memory, and then you can also suggest a game that I would play. Also have a huge announcement, and that is June 11th, 2022. You need to save the date.
June 11th, 2022.
Yeah, it's a Saturday, because that is when we're going to hold the next NarthexCon, NarthexCon 2020. Will be on June 11th, 2022. We never got to have it.
Yeah, right. We might as well go have it.
I still have stickers and t-shirts and stuff. So we're going to do 2020's NarthexCon on June 11th, 2022. Okay? It'll be at Benton Park Cafe here in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'd love for you to go ahead. There'll be more information as it comes closer. But just put that in your calendar, June 11th, 2022, NarthexCon 2020. That's the one we never got to have. So
I'm adding it right now.
It only took me 2 years, but John will be there. His kid will be there, and maybe both, hopefully. We'll try to get some special guests, and we've got plenty of time to get that thing together, but it's going to be a great time. If you went to the first one, you know that we love to chat and hang out and get to know each other and see you in face to face instead of just on Facebook or just on Discord. And we take time to chat with everybody. We're not too big to hang out. It's not just a quick, you know, hey, can I have your autograph and a photo and move on? We sit and spend time with everybody, and it's a lot of fun. But it is limited to 100 people. And that includes me and my family, John and his people, and a couple of folks that I need for technical support and stuff like that. So it's in reality, it's probably limited to 90 people. So when I announce the sign up, it's free. It's a free event for you. But when I announce a sign up, you'll want to sign up as soon as possible, because once we are full, the venue only allows up to 100 folks. So. But it's very cool. It's got a bar, but I don't care about the bar. The cool part about it is I'm renting a bartender, and he's going to serve free soda the entire event.
That's cool.
I've already set that up. And
like craft soda?
No, it's regular soda. I wish it was craft soda. That would be pretty cool. And that does exist here. We do have places that do that. But I just thought it was cool that we have
so hipster
fountain drinks on demand for everyone the entire event. So,
and it's free.
Yeah. Yeah. It's free because we love you guys.
All you have to do is show up. All you have to do is pay for the travel to get there.
That's right. So I'll let you guys know. The best way to find out when it's time to sign up is to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/NLcast, or follow us, join the Facebook group. That's facebook.com/group/NLcast, or join me on my Discord. And you can find out about the Discord at the website, NLcast.com. All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yep.
Looking forward to that, man. It's going to be awesome.
One more announcement, and that is that we're going to do a theme show on December 9th. So that gives you 3 weeks to come up with a themed story, and the theme is pets.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I am looking pets. Forward to this one already. Not just dogs, not just cats, not just tarantulas, pets. But pets in general.
I got chickens. They're not really pets, but I got some stories about my chickens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are going to have our stories. We want you to send your stories. Remember, the email to send them to is thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And just put a hashtag pets in there for me so that I will know not to use it except on that episode. December 9th. Don't be sending it on Thursday. That's the day I do my show notes. So December 8th is the deadline. Okay. I just want to let you know we're going to put the show together on the 9th, but the deadline is the 8th. All right, good. We got some, iTunes reviews. Best show ever says Gojo Sorius is the best boy. Hey, James and John, just want to start out by saying your podcast is amazing. We've been on a scary movie spree the last couple of days, and your shows always make the spooks go away.
Nice. Yeah, that's because we are the least scary people you ever meet.
That's true. You are truly the best, and my family loves this show. We're always laughing with this show, and I can't wait for the next episode. Also, I just want to say we use Suit Up Nero all the time around the house.
Nice.
Okay.
Suit Up Nero.
That's Gojo Satatorius Best Boy, username from Hades. .com right there.
That's impossible.
Yeah. Big fan, says Izzy OMG 2021 from Australia. Love your show. Love listening. Can't wait to hear more episodes. I listen to this day and night. Wow. He's probably getting blocked at his school. I even listen to it when I hear a story about a headless chicken. So that's commitment right there.
It's great, mate.
Perfect, says Floppy Taco 24. These guys are funny. I think it's good that they're talking clean too. Oh, well, good. I'm glad you like that we don't use the swears. I know swear words, but I don't use them. Uh-huh. I think John doesn't know them.
I do. No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say one right now.
I don't believe it.
Darn it.
Darn it is not a bad word, John. It's not. It's not a bad word.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Well, okay.
Heck with you, John. The heck with you. There we go. Just I know.
Told me where to go.
Heck is where you go when you don't believe in gosh. That's what I heard the other day.
I love it.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, too. All right. It's time for this.
Quiznos. Where we quiz what you know.
All right. So, John, do me a favor. Click on the link there and launch the quiz because I want us to trade this one back and forth.
Okay.
And ask each other questions. Now, this is sent in by Daniel J. Lewis, friend of the show. He also is the owner and operator of mypodcastreviews.com, where we get our reviews automatically sent to us in an email.
Fantastic.
But he sets it up to where he asks the question and gives all the, you know, the answers. And then you highlight underneath the last one for the answer. And he says there's text in white under each question. So do not highlight the text until you're ready to reveal the answer. So I figure we'll just do it one at a time like that. So here we go. Okay. First one.
All right.
What fun thing does the U.S. Supreme Court have in its top floor? Is it A, a basketball court, B, a poker parlor, C, a strip club, D, I'm kidding, C.
What? What? Is that even?
What is that even? I don't even know.
Is that a place for redoing furniture?
Yeah, that's it. C, a bowling alley, or D, a karaoke stage? I only said it because I would believe that if somebody...
Our government, right?
Yeah.
There probably is something like that there.
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. After I said poker parlor, I'm like, no, they wouldn't stop there. They wouldn't stop there at all. So anyway, is it a basketball court, a poker parlor, a bowling alley, or a karaoke stage? John, what do you think?
I'm going to have to say it's something where they need to sit down. So it's probably a poker parlor.
Okay. I'm going to guess. I want to say basketball court, but I think I'm confusing that with what's in the Matterhorn at Disneyland.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. I saw that episode on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it couldn't be a karaoke stage because that's a trendy thing in the 90s. I'm going to say a bowling alley. So now, John, you're saying a poker parlor. I'm saying a bowling alley. I'm going to highlight it. The answer is it's a basketball court on the top floor.
Oh, man.
The court is nicknamed the highest court in the land.
Of course. Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Our government is so good with puns.
Basketball court. What is...
Don't you think that would be like distracting when they're in session? I guess only the judges can play basketball though up there, right?
I don't know. I just a lot of the guys that I've seen on C-SPAN aren't in shape for basketball. And I say that as a man that is not in shape for basketball. So maybe the younger guys do it. I don't know. I don't know. And was I would like to know the history. Was it included originally or did they just find space and say, let's hang up a couple of baskets and get going? Does the sport predate the Supreme Court or does the Supreme Court predate the sport? Would it also be another question I would have because it was created.
There's people that know that off the top of their head.
I bet there is. And I bet the Supreme Court came first because it was created in America by a YMCA employee.
Guys, that's true.
So I know that much. And it used peach baskets. I know
that's
that
right. I remember that part too. And then they got tired of climbing the ladder, so they just cut the bottom of the basket out.
Yeah.
Smart.
All right. So you asked me the second question, John. Okay.
Question number two: for which of the following activities does the state of Michigan require a license?
Hmm.
Is it A, driving a power wheels for children above the age of 10?
Mm-hmm.
B, farting in a government building?
Mm.
C, hunting unicorns, or D, photographing babies?
I'm going to go with B because it sounds the most ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it probably is the one. I would just guess that farting in a public building would require a license, and I couldn't imagine going up to a government official and requesting one. So I would imagine that one's the one that makes the most sense.
Okay.
What about you?
I was gonna say photographing babies.
Okay.
Because it just sounds, you know.
All right.
Sounds like something Michigan would make.
Let's highlight it and you tell me what it says.
All right. Well, the answer is C.
Oh.
Hunting unicorns. According to the answer here, Lake Superior State University in Michigan offers a unicorn hunting license.
Really?
Yeah.
I want a state university. That means taxes are going towards unicorn hunting license acquired.
They must not be making their quota for tuition, so they have to sell these licenses.
There's a story there, and you know, I don't care. I really don't. I mean, some things like the basketball court, it gets my dander up, but hunting unicorns, I'm like, I don't really care that you do that, and it's of no interest to me. So anyway,
ain't my thing.
It's weird. Which of the following did an engineer from Purdue University invent to solve a mystery of the universe? A, a licking machine to count how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. B, a robot with artificial intelligence to watch and laugh at YouTube videos in order to know which is truly the funniest video ever. C, a smartwatch for men that will properly measure exactly how long it will be until their wives will be ready to go. I would pay for that. Or D, a chat bot that will relatively use the number 42 in the answer to any question you ask it.
Wow.
As a reference in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I have a 42 t-shirt.
Do you?
So, yeah.
Nice. Life, the answer to life.
42 also happens to be a wonderful sports movie about.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Robinson.
That's right. Exactly.
The, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to steal your
thunder.
No, that's fine. So anyway, John, what do you think? Is it a licking machine, a artificial intelligent YouTube algorithm, smartwatch for women or men that are trying to track women's readiness, or a chatbot that will answer 42?
Well, seeing that this is from Purdue and not MIT, I'm going to have to go with the licking machine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go with a chatbot that uses the number 42, because that is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. So,
yeah.
Okay. We're going to reveal the answer right now. And a student from Purdue.
Yes.
Yeah. Good job, man. A student Purdue University created a licking machine and discovered that it takes exactly 364 licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. A licking machine has been invented, folks, and that means not only was an artificial tongue created, but saliva was created. Saliva. And hopefully there was a receptacle to collect it. Then it didn't just drip down on the ground.
I don't even want to see. That's one of that falls in the last category. I'm just saying,
I don't care. I don't give three craps about that. Unsolved mysteries, best unsolved. Okay. So hit me with number four, John.
All right. Quote unquote, Sid. SID is the first name for which of the following TV characters? Is it A, MacGyver? B, the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street?
Weird.
C, the Man in Black from Lost?
Huh.
Or D, Marge's tall hair from The Simpsons?
Wow. Wow. This is so random. I don't know. Do you have a clue, John?
I'm going to go with what I know the least about, and that's going to be Lost.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to say the Man in Black from
Sid. Ah, gosh. Yeah. I know it's the bad kid from Toy Story. I mean, that's
right.
That's the Sid villain, you know?
Not Sid MacGyver. That's weird.
Yeah. I'm going to say Cookie Monster just for fun.
Okay.
So reveal us the answer, John.
Here's the answer. The answer is B. Sid is for Cookie Monster.
Oh, I got one.
Well done. Oh, wait, there's more. I didn't highlight it all. Yeah, that's good enough for me. That's the rest of the answer.
Oh.
Sid is for Cookie Monster. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, because of the song, you know. C is for Cookie, and Cookie is for me. Okay, you do it properly, please.
C is for Cookie, and that's good enough for me.
I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a while since.
Very good. Very good. You know what's funny? I'm going to budge in here. I was talking to your son before we did Red School Bus. Red School Bus at rsbcast.com. A little cross promotion there for you. It's a show a lot like this one. It's just for younger students and people.
Yeah.
And it's co-hosted by John's youngest, James. And so it's James and James. And I was talking him up before the show and encouraging him, because you can still tell that he's a little nervous. Like, it was a show he used to listen to, and now he's on it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know,
this thing.
He's a little afraid to be himself. And so I asked him, I'm like, how you doing with that? He's like, oh, it's getting better. And I'm like, well, I want you to cut loose. I want you to be yourself. I want you to know that you can interrupt. You can tell your own stories. You can do whatever you want to do. And I didn't know how that would play out, but I introduced him. I said, and here's James. And what do you know? He did a voice.
He really?
He did.
I wasn't there, so I don't know what it was.
I don't remember what it was, but he just did a voice. And I'm like, he's his father's son. And I knew you would be proud. So
I got to go back and listen to this.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was like, he took it to heart what I said. So
good boy.
Anyway,
good boy.
Number five, which of the following is a true case of forbidding by a state or country? Italy officially outlawed pineapple on pizza.
Oh, come on now.
The Georgia State Supreme Court issued a restraining order to keep the devil out of Georgia. I believe that one.
Gotta protect our borders.
Mexican Border Patrol agents were instructed to forbid Americans from entering Mexico and taking Mexican jobs. Or D, China censored the Chinese word for censorship. For fun, I'm going to go pick on Georgia because I'm from there. And I'm going to say that Georgia issued a restraining order to keep the devil out of Georgia.
Because
the devil went down to Georgia looking for a soul to steal. We all know.
Yeah.
So
he did. Yeah.
What do you say, John?
I'm going to go with D because that seems, I don't know. It just seems probably true.
Yeah. China.
I don't know. They all seem true, though.
Yeah.
Except for Italy. I know that one's not for real.
They're almost all probable. Yeah. Here we go. The answer is D. China can't be accused of censorship because the word is forbidden from being used. John, you get it. That's crazy.
That one just seemed the most.
And you can't even know what the word is because they just deleted it.
They blocked it.
It's like Prince's name when he changed it to a symbol. It's just a black bar now. That's what it means.
Can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
It's unpronounced. It's like in a conversation, you're saying, hey, you're me. Can't say the word because
I thought you cut out for some reason.
No, I did, but it was blank.
All right. Number six.
All right. Number six. What is a quote unquote nurdle? It's spelled N-U-R-D-L-E.
Nurdle.
And is it, what is a nurdle? A verb meaning to pluck a nose hair without appearing to pick your nose.
Mm.
Is it B, slang for the hurdles you must overcome to make Nero suit up? Love that one. C, is it the word for the blob of toothpaste on your toothbrush?
A little nurdle.
Or is it D, what happens when eggnog hasn't expired but is no longer in season?
Wow.
I like that one.
A nurdle.
Oh, man.
I'm going to say it's a verb meaning to pluck a nose hair without appearing to pick your nose.
Mm.
Nurdling.
It's a verb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with C. It's the word for the blob of toothpaste.
All right. All right.
It's going to go with that. I got a little nurdle on my toothbrush, so I got to take care of it.
All right. Well, reveal the answer and let me know.
Okay. It is C. A nurdle is that blob of toothpaste on your toothbrush.
You're killing it, John.
Be sure. I don't know. I'm just going with the other one. He says to be sure to always give it that nice little wave and peek, or else you'll lose all of your teeth.
Yeah, when they put it on the toothbrush, it's definitely more than pea-sized. You know?
Yeah.
They always say use a pea-sized amount, but toothpaste distributors want you to use a good bit more. So.
Yeah, right. That's how they smell more toothpaste. Sell more toothpaste.
Sell more toothpaste. Number seven, what special talent can you hire in Switzerland? Oh, boy. A, you can hire a clown specifically to terrify your child. B, you can hire a cleaning maid who serves only to stress you out enough to clean your own house. That's interesting.
That's hilarious.
C, you can hire a company to stage a fictional international crisis so you can be the hero in your own spy adventure. Or D, you can hire a dialogue coach to help you avoiding saying thank you in a Chick-fil-A. Now, I would want that service.
America.
I hate tricking people, especially my daughter. My daughter now works at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And she says my pleasure accidentally occasionally, and it's...
At home?
Yeah. It's a little... It's awesome. I get embarrassed for her. So I know it's not that one. I'm going to say B, that you can hire a cleaning service that only serves to stress you out enough to learn to clean your own house. What do you think, John?
Isn't that any cleaning service? I think you can do that in the United States.
I know
people who clean their house to get it clean for when the maid comes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I know women that are that way about their house. They have to pre-clean it, you know, before the cleaning service comes over. Oh,
I'm going to go with A. I'm going to say you can hire a clown specifically to terrify your child or break up with your old girlfriend.
Yeah. John offers that service. All right. The answer is A. You can hire a scary clown. To stalk your child and smash their face with a cake on their birthday.
That's terrible. What's wrong with those Swiss?
What in the heck? Man, I finally find a job that I could do depressed, and it's in Switzerland.
That would be awesome.
I could totally do that no matter how I felt. I could totally do that. If I was depressed, I could be like, this kid deserves it, dadgummit. This is nothing. It's nothing. He needs to know about the dank and dark world of depression. So I'm going to be a scary clown. Or I could do it happy. This is going to be great. I'm a scary clown. I'm going to pop a kid in the face with their own cake.
Oh. It's a birthday cake. Hey, get ready, Bobby.
Wait, I guess they don't name him Bobby in Switzerland.
Yeah, Sven, get ready.
Get ready, Sven.
Well, that is our Quiznos for today. Cool. Thank you, Daniel J., for sending it in.
That was awesome.
You know, lately I've gotten more quizzes in the email than stories. And wow. I had an 11-year-old person tell me in our Discord this week that we should start another show called That Quiz Show and just do quizzes the whole time.
Maybe we'll have to do an episode like that.
Yeah, huh? that would be crazy. But in the meantime, let's do some listener stories. All right, today's stories are sponsored by BetterHelp.com. What interferes with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goal? BetterHelp.com can assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private environment. It's so convenient. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. You can send messages to your counselor anytime, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule a weekly video or phone session. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And they really do. When I was using it, you can go through and check. They have photos. They have information about what kind of therapist they are and what they specialize in. It's really convenient, professional, and affordable. And I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/thatstoryshow. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thatstoryshow. And we'd like to thank BetterHelp for supporting us all this year. It's been great.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for our listener stories, though. This one's called Maggot Mania, and it's from Anna. I'm not looking forward to this. Hello, James and John. Boy. I have a fun middle school drama story to share with you guys.
Dang it! Move out of the way, stupid.
So one day back in August, I was having a sleepover with my friend, and we, even though it was summer, wanted a nice hot cup of hot chocolate. Side note. I have a bad habit of not taking whatever food or drink down to the kitchen after I've done consuming it. Exactly. It's not unique to you, my friend. My children are banned from eating or drinking anything up in their room because the dishes will just disappear from our cabinets.
Right on.
And they will not be in the dishwasher. They will not be in the sink. They will not be on the counter. They will be disappeared and they're gone. And we look for them and we find them upstairs. So there, it's the only bad thing they do though. Jump to today. I was cleaning my room because my mom said so. And I decided to open my blinds. My desk being right under my window had an old cup of hot chocolate on it. That's right.
Mm.
A 4 month old hot, cup of goodness. Another side note, knowing my bad habit and knowing that I would be too lazy to take the cup down, I had covered it to block the mold with, you guessed it, toilet paper and a notebook. Oh, good. At least there's a scientific basis for
I know I'm not going to take this down or clean it, so let me keep the lid on top of it.
Let me cap it off there. As I reached across the desk to open my blinds, I made the horrible mistake of accidentally uncovering my cup of hot cocoa, which was neither hot nor cocoa anymore, by the way. Oh boy. As it opened, a waft of old moldy death came over me.
Oh boy.
Some flies emerged from the depth of the dark, black, deadly cup. And I watched in horror as I eventually came to my senses and uncovered the cup. Now, you might be thinking, where did the maggots come in from the title? Well, my friend, they were there. Where? In the depths of the cup. Squirming, ugly, white maggots.
Oh, no. That's, no.
I immediately ran to my sister and told her my tale of woe. And she got mad and laughed at me.
She got mad and laughed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's sisters, you know. She smartly told me to throw it away. Don't clean that thing. Nobody ever wants to drink out of that. You have ruined that cup.
That cup is ruined. It's my favorite one, though.
It belongs to the maggots now. I did as she said. I threw the maggot cocoa away. Well, that's my story. I'm sorry that it was gross. I do hope it made James and John gag at least once during the story. Have a nice day. God bless, Anna. Anna, don't say God bless after a story like that. God can't bless that kind of story.
God bless that story.
The maggots. You want him blessing a cup full of maggots? Mm. No. No.
You know, they serve a purpose, but I don't want them to serve it near me.
Cleanliness is next to godliness, not maggot.
If you want God to bless it, clean up your dishes and get them out of your room.
Yes, yes. Take them down. Wash them out. I will say this. I have one cup that I like. Usually I put my sodas in the fridge so that I have a can of soda that is cold already and I drink it out of the can. But in the event that I run out and didn't replace them, I do have a cup that I like to use and it is tall. It can hold plenty of ice and it can hold an entire can of soda. But I don't use it that often. And it got left down here and the muddy water / Coke mixture, you know, of ice and Coke got dried out over time and it left a scale behind, a brown scale in the bottom of the cup.
And brown scale.
Yeah, I took it over and I ran some hot water through it and swished it around. It didn't budge. And I really thought about throwing away my magic cup, my wonderful cup. I've had it so long that whatever was printed on it is been long gone. The plastic still remains, you know, as it does. And, but I ran that joker through the dishwasher and the scale came off and, I've used it. I've used it since. And that's pretty gross. I know, but that's not as bad as the guy that we told the story of that swallowed his freaking tooth, pooped it out.
Oh no.
Found it.
Yeah.
Bleached it.
Okay.
And put it back in.
That's
you remember that story, John?
Yeah. I recall it vividly now you mentioned.
That's the kind of story you don't forget ever.
Ever.
So.
And you can't help but think about it every time you smile.
Yeah. I would never kiss a man, okay? Anyway.
Okay.
But if I was his
wife.
Unless you
drink after him.
If I was his wife. There's no freaking way in the universe. It's like, we promise to be together. I will maintain that promise. I promise to love, honor, and cherish. I will do that. Till death do us part. Easy. But as far as locking lips, that part of our marriage is freaking over. Never again am I going to kiss you, because there's a part of your body that has been through your entire body. And I don't care about bleach. I don't believe that there is a substance alive that can clean something that's been through your gastrointestinal intestines and stuff. So anyway,
you and your poop tooth.
Yeah. You have a poop tooth. There's just one. I could probably point it out if he showed us, you know, he opens his teeth and there's just one that's just a little darker than the rest.
So, oh man.
Just, you know, the
enamel. No, it's a little brighter than the rest because it's been through bleach. Bleached tooth.
Pretty gross. All right, let's move right along to another gross story.
Let's see how you feel about kissing people like this. This comes to us from TJ Bunkhall. This is the crunchy cricket, James.
Sounds promising.
TJ says, hello, James and John. I was listening to James's story about how a cockroach had flown up his pants.
Yeah,
this reminded me of a story of my own. You and your cockroach pants.
Yeah.
TJ says, I've been dating a girl for about 2 months. The other day, she told me a story of when she was about 16. Now, you need to understand a few things. One, I'm a picky eater. I won't eat a lot of things, including cold cereal, sour cream, and spicy foods. That is very specific.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My girlfriend, however, will eat just about anything, including bugs.
What?
That's what he says, and I think he's joking. She's commented on how satisfying the crunch is. No, he's not joking. How satisfying the crunch is of chewing a bug. Why do you do that?
What?
Okay. Once, when at youth group, she picked up a bug off the ground. And while staring another girl in the eye, she proceeded to put this live cricket into her mouth.
Oh.
She chewed, she swallowed, and enjoyed it.
What?
Well, yeah, except for the part where she didn't chew the disgusting legs and they squirmed as they went down.
Oh, that's the worst part. That's the part you want to make sure you, you know, get the most out of there. You know,
yeah.
Crunching.
Yeah, I think it's like a chicken leg. I just toss the legs, but personally. This was mortifying to me.
Yeah.
The girl's mouth that I kiss has had bugs in it.
Mm.
He says, we were on a date at her place and she made dinner and I was gagging as she told me the story. I almost threw up. She then told me that there was such a thing as insect flour and that bugs were just protein.
Oh, what?
I think she forgets. Yeah, apparently, whatever. But I think she forgets the fact that bugs regularly crawl around and poo. Hope this grosses you out as much as it did me. TJ.
TJ. I just can't imagine. They're early in their relationship and TJ is sitting down for a nice dinner date, you know, at her house. And she says, sweetie, yes, I need to tell you something.
I got to tell you something.
I've told several men in the past about this. And it is, it's important that I get it out quick and soon because, you know, they've left me. Over this,
I don't want my feelings for you to grow stronger.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I want to let you know that once I ate a cricket, chewed it
on
up
on purpose,
and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and that's the important.
I ate a cricket and I loved it. I don't know how that tune goes.
I ate a cricket and liked it. The taste of those legs. Yeah, that's a problem.
Might be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, deal breaker, ladies. Deal breaker.
If you ate a cricket and enjoyed it, you can just keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I don't know what guys are like these days. They might think that's
what I'm
awesome.
Saying. TJ, are you that desperate, buddy? There's a whole lot of women out there, and I bet a good...
There's other crickets out in the field, buddy.
I bet a bunch of them have never put a bug in their mouth. So, you know, next time you're swapping spit, just...
Gee whiz.
Just think about that.
What does that mean?
Love you, John. I love you, man. All right, this one's called Bad Beagle, and it's gross. And it's
shocker.
Yeah. Everything's been gross on this episode so far. Steven from Alabama says, I have a story for you, and it involves dogs. James, I hope you enjoy this one. So you know it's gross because I hate dogs. To start off, I have to say that I love dogs. I have three, and sometimes they get under my skin. One of my dogs is a beagle and only a year old, and she's so cute, but she is so bad. One morning, while my wife was getting ready for her job, she was drying some clothes, and as she was pulling the clothes out of the dryer that she needed to wear that day for work, my sweet baby beagle sticks her cute little head in the dryer and then vomits.
Oh, why?
She blew chunks all over her clean, dry clothes. Well, I'm sure they asked her why, John, but, you know, dogs don't talk, so.
How would a dog do that?
I don't know. I mean, even if the dog did answer, they don't speak English, so it'd be like, you know, I don't know. Okay. Not everybody's Scooby-Doo, John. Now,
fair enough.
Before I end this story, there is one crucial detail you must know. My beagle eats poop every single day. Like, her diet consists of her dog food and the fully processed dog food from my other two canines. This is gross, and it's getting to me. When we let her outside, the first thing she does is sniff around the yard for free samples. My other dogs are defecating, and she's there to clean it up as soon as it hits the grass. She is much like a vacuum or a child diving into a chocolate cake. She is face first in the freshly made doggy chocolate. Is anyone bagging yet? No, you're about to. Ah, I'm trying to get through it.
Sounds like a rap.
So my precious poop-eating beagle threw up in my dryer on my wife's clean clothes. And what do you think the vomit consisted of? That's right, double-digested dog food. My stomach acid and dog food. Dog poop soaked her freshly clean clothes, and she needed it for the day. You could see the individual poop pieces and pieces of grass mixed into the mucus of stomach acid. I love the smell. First thing in the morning, I had the luxury of cleaning up this mess. Luckily for me, poop vomit. I clean it up on a regular basis, so I'm kind of numb to it. We're hoping she grows out of this habit. We did put something in their dog food that is supposed to make poop less appetizing. Like it's not already. I will let you know how that goes. Well, please do. Please never write us again, actually, Steven. there's some topics we can't broach, and this is one of them. Thank you guys for all the work that you put into the show. Thank you for sending us a story that proves that you hate us. Y'all are awesome, and I never get tired of listening. Well, I get tired of reading some things. I suggest a dog theme show. How about a pet theme show? We're going to do it on the 9th. I think there are probably a ton of good ones out there. Yeah, unlike this one, it's a bad one. I have a great show, and God bless. Well, we were having a great show. We were, until Steven from Alabama shared about his nasty beagle. I had a beagle once, and they are the hyperest little dogs.
They're like a little escape artist. They can get out of anything.
And mine chewed on the blades of my ceiling fan.
What? How?
Yeah. Okay. So I was in a one bedroom studio, you know, apartment at the time, and it had a built-in loft bed. And I thought, you know, I'm kind of tired of this dog being down on ground level with me. I didn't have a lot of furniture, so I was working on the floor. I put him up in the daggum loft bed, let him run around. And before I knew it, he's leaned out as far as a dog could stretch, and he's chewing on the fan blades of my ceiling fan. And I'm that was the decision that made me give him back. And I'm telling you, I worked a deal.
You gave the dog back.
I gave the dog back. I had adopted this dog. I had rescued this beagle.
unrescued a dog?
I had done it through my boss, who was a dog-loving monster. I mean, she loved dogs, loved them, rescued them, you know, helped other people do it. And I did it through my boss, and then I sent it back. And man, it almost cost me my job. I think if she could have legally fired me, she would have, because she was bitter. She made sure to tell me that it had been rescued. So there we go.
Well, I mean, you gave a couple more days of life, apparently, because I'm sure the guy left. Anyways.
Yeah. I don't know who would want this dog. Well, anyway, John, read us our last story today.
Okay, here comes gas station tuna. Get your pants ready.
Yeah.
There we go. This comes to us from our friend Sarah Farrow. Sarah Farrow. Sorry, this song just came out of there. Why? Okay, we love listening to your show as we take road trips, and the whole family can listen. Bonus. Woohoo! That was written in there. I didn't say that. This story happened to my husband a few years ago. We were visiting his family and decided to take the kids and his parents on a trip to a boat cave adventure.
Ooh.
A boat cave. Is that, I think in Tennessee there's this place called the Hidden Lake or something like it, and it's in a cave and you take a boat through it. I wonder if it's that one.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of scary to me.
It'd be better if it was a bat cave adventure, though.
Bat cave. That's what I thought it read at first, but no, it's a boat cave.
I'm going to say, between the two, given the options, I would say bat cave adventure.
I would go with the bat cave. Well, on the way to the caves, my husband got hungry and decided to stop and get a sandwich at the local gas station. We pulled up to this particular station, and it immediately gave off the vibe that we should find any other gas station possible. But we were in a small town, and that option wasn't there. So out of hunger and desperation, he bought a tuna fish sandwich.
The worst possible option of all possible options.
I mean, if you're at a sketchy gas station, just, you know, word to the wise, don't get anything that has a shelf life.
Yeah, or seafood.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that goes for all gas stations. Don't get seafood from a gas station. Unless you're in Florida on the coast, I don't think it's a good idea.
Their priority is gas, okay?
That's right.
It's not your tuna fish sandwich. You know,
when all the other stuff is there just in case.
When they're doing reviews on employees, you know, how much gas did we sell? Oh, we sold 1 million gallons. Great. Awesome. You're getting a raise. What about the freshness of our tuna fish sandwiches? I actually don't know. Well, that's fine. You're getting a raise anyway. We don't care.
We sell tuna here? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, yes, it was tuna. The smell coming from the sandwich was odd, to say the least. Yet. He ate it.
Yet he ate it. Hallelujah.
Yet.
Ooh. Ooh, bless God.
Oh.
Oh. Let me tell you what he did. He got a hold of that sandwich. Yeah. He had a choice to make. Oh, he had a choice to make. Oh, he could have thrown it away. He only paid $1.50
for it. Not bought it at all.
Oh, he could have gotten rid of it that day, but he did not. No, 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 no.
Come on, what'd he do?
He peeled back that cellophane. He didn't know it was gonna cause him any pain. No, no,
no.
He ate it, and it was a bad idea, because he's likely gonna see it later. Okay, that's enough.
Sorry. That's what we call foreshadowing in the business, just so you know.
Yeah,
whatever business.
This story tells itself.
It does, and it apparently comes with a musical narration, which is awesome. So he ate it, then we decided to go on the cave boat ride. And the whole time, he was saying how he felt seasick.
Yeah, the thing about being seasick is you have to be in the sea.
Yeah, this is what she says. Sarah says, this is a small boat on flat water going 1 mile an hour.
Yeah, he ain't seasick, folks.
If that... But after the boat ride, apparently he held it together through the whole boat ride. After the boat ride, we get back into the car and he's driving, but getting pale as the drive goes on. He keeps saying how he feels seasick.
Yeah.
And soon enough.
On second thought, I want to add, he was in fact seasick because he was sick from something from the sea. So.
That needs that little drum roll or sad trombone. One of those needs to be in there.
How about this one? Because something bad's about to happen.
Oh, what happened? Well, soon enough, he felt the urge to pull over and let the tuna out. Thank you for saying it like that, Sarah.
Yeah,
that just makes
kind.
It feel so much better.
Thank you.
He quickly found a patch of grass on the side of the country road, and he goes to the side of the truck, and he lets all of that gas station tuna go. He just lets it go.
Yes, like Lord.
Elsa. Yes. Wait, is that Elsa that lets it go? or
the, yeah, yeah, let it go.
You gotta let that tuna go. When he was done, though, he looked up and he realized that the local neighbors were outside and they were watching all of this transpire.
Of course they were.
And they don't seem too pleased that he's just puked all over their lawn. And keep in mind, this is a farm area, okay? Empty fields for miles, and this is the only house on the road for like 5 miles.
Of course.
And he's just made eye contact with the people whose yard he's vomiting in. Well, he breaks eye contact with them, and then he runs back to the truck as quickly as he can, and he gives a nice little wave as they drive off, and he sees their perplexed faces of disapproval staring back at them. So whatever you do, Sarah says, so whatever you do, don't eat gas station tuna.
Hey, Bill, go get the hose. There's somebody puking on the front lawn again.
He must have got some of that tuna from the gas station. Yeah,
the FBI has a map, and they've got reported sightings of people that have been puking in a 10-mile radius of this gas station.
Yeah. It's the FDA.
They're trying to triangulate where the source is coming from. They're pretty sure they got it nailed down to this gas station with the tuna fish sandwiches.
You can't miss it. It's near a lake inside of a cave. It's gotta be.
it's a bat cave adventure. I don't think it's a bat cave adventure, sir. No, I'm pretty sure it's a bat cave. No.
It's a cave boat cave.
Gosh, it reminds me of the time after I had my snip snip. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was driving home and I felt so sick and I felt like I was passing out and I pulled over and I called my wife. And I threw up while I was on the phone with her and passed out at the same time.
Yeah. And, I love that story. I think about it often.
Woke up laying in my own puke with my head underneath the wheel well of my car. And I got up slowly, having no idea how long I'd been down. And there's a guy on a tractor across the street in a field. And he's just eyeballing me. And I'm like, what is his story? What did he see? What was he going to go home and tell his family that night? You know, did he see a drunk guy, you know, that just pulled off the road? Because I'm like, now I'm going to finish the story for him because I'm about to dust myself off, get back in the car and drive away like nothing happened. So, and that's the way he's going to tell the story. The guy got up, dusted himself off, sat there with the puke all over him and drove away like nothing happened.
I kid you not. You didn't shout out the window, don't mind me, I just had a vasectomy.
No, I didn't say anything. I was afraid he was going to come over. And then I was going to have to explain all that to him, you know?
Yeah, no.
I just had my little guys shut out of my life forever. I just, you know, couldn't handle it. They told me I could drive myself home. I don't know what they were thinking.
I'm still perplexed to this day how you would even drive yourself home. I mean, aren't you?
I had a stick shift, too.
I don't know.
That was the worst part. Okay. It was a stick shift.
Oh, mercy. That should be in an instruction manual somewhere, you know? Hey, if you're going to have the surgery, don't even bother driving, especially if you have a stick shift.
They told me it was an outpatient thing. They told me I could drive myself home. They said everything was fine. They let me go, and I believed them. But anyway.
Oh, man.
If you're wanting to know what episode we're talking about, look up The Rocks on thatstoryshow.com. Just search for The Rocks or in your
feed. Keep in mind, that's an old episode.
Yeah, it is. I don't have it
way
the
back
number
back
on me, but anyway, that is all.
That's in the double digits.
I think it is in the 50s somewhere. So that is about it for this week, though. Thank you so much, everybody, for your great stories.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a funny life story, and that's why we exist, to share your story with the masses. So whatever your story is, send it in, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And if we used your story today, we owe you a sticker. Email us your address. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. Join our Facebook group, Facebook. facebook.com/group/NLcast and join our Discord community at nlcast.com/community. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And don't forget about our merchandise. If you go to nlcast.com and click on merch, and we have t-shirts and lots of designs and lots of sizes for men, women, and children. Check it out. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
Actually, we won't see you guys next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you the week after that. So
enjoy some turkey.
Yeah. Enjoy some turkey. We'll see you guys later. Yeah. Peace out. Peace out, people. Peace out. Peace out. Peace out.
Peace out.
My 5-hour energy is still kicked in.
Yeah, it's kicking in. You sound like the guy from the Micro Machines commercial.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.